Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Saulville. Actually, he's in Disney. Jason Bishop.
I'm here.
And Eric Bickle. Join us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's Chris Miller, now the play-by-play voice on NBC Sports Washington. First of all, I guess we should congratulate you on the job. Chris, you called some games. When did you first start calling games?
I filled in for Buck for a game, I think, in 2018. Mm-hmm. We were in Toronto. And then last year I did, I think, seven games. So it's been a passion project of mine for years. And just to get the opportunity now, man, you know, I'm really excited about it. It's good to be on the radio with you guys. Yeah, I'm ready to go, man. I wish it was like end of September. I'm ready for my summer vacation to be over with.
I know this, Chris. I mean, it is a tough skill, in my opinion. Now, I remember Cakes and I, we got thrown into doing like play-by-play. We were doing like an appearance for Midnight Madness at Georgetown. EB was there too. And then all of a sudden, they had, you know, the game, like, they all of a sudden had a game, and they didn't tell us that we're going to be doing play-by-play, but they're like, hey, can you guys do play-by-play? And now, we weren't even, I mean, I was like, okay, number five, passes, like, I didn't know anything. Right. It's a tough skill. Did you practice that a lot?
So, you'll laugh at this. I play 2K a lot.
Okay.
So, I call my own games. So, I've been doing that probably, like, since Sega Genesis was out, right? So it's kind of, I kind of laugh when I tell people this. It's kind of like, I've been preparing for this, you know, really my, like, whole life. So, yeah, the part about, like, the play-by-play is really the preparation. Like, if you know the game, right, like, if you hoop and you know the game, that stuff is second nature. It's just kind of like preparing, like you guys said, knowing the names, the numbers, you know, the stats and stuff like that. But, you know, once you kind of get into a rhythm, I did notice that, like, this year, you know, probably like that third or fourth game, I was like, oh, okay. I went through every circumstance imaginable. You know, obviously with COVID, I was at the arena with an analyst or at the arena with an analyst in studio. I was in a room by myself and the other analyst was in another room by himself.
Right.
So I kind of did every kind of, you know, game imaginable in just a small window. So, man, I'm really looking forward to it. And you guys know, you know, I've been here 15 years. I love the game. I love the team. I love the city. So I'm just ready to kind of embrace this new job. But for me, this is it. I'm ready to get down.
Hey, maybe that's all it takes, three or four games, because EB said he mastered being color commentator in lacrosse in
really?
Three games.
I sucked for the first one. It literally took me three games. I had mastered it. It wasn't that hard.
But hey, I see your commercial. I bet you you mastered that too in one take too.
Well, that took a few more than one take.
That was a 9-hour shoot.
You'd be shocked. Hey, by the way, I know we had you on and we asked you a little bit. Do you know? Is Drew going to be your partner? Do we know?
I can officially say that 6'10" bald headed dude is going to be rolling with me this season. I'm excited about that. Drew and I have known each other when he was playing for the Cavaliers and I was working in Cleveland. So we've known each other a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember we were in a cab when he was playing and we went to a Yankees game together. And this is towards the end of his career. And I remember telling him, hey, bro, you should really think about kind of getting into the broadcasting space. Mm-hmm. Great voice, funny. Knows the game, obviously, and he kind of took me up on it. So I'm trying to get 4% of his money now since I was the one that told him to get into the business.
Right. Hey, is the requirement that you have to be bald to be calling the games?
Hey, listen, if you bald-headed, you're part of the team, man. We'll take you.
I'm just basically gray hair, white hair at this point.
Hey, so what's your take on Johnny D? We had Johnny on the show yesterday, and nice kid. Tough kid, obviously, and we were talking about his season last year in Wisconsin. Finished fifth in the conference in rebounding for a guard. Pretty impressive. Averaged 8.5 per game.
That's so funny. Yeah. That's so funny you mentioned that. That was kind of like the first thing that kind of stood out to me when I kind of like looked at his numbers.
Right.
You know, he averaged 8 rebounds as a guard. And he's 6'5". He's a dog, man. I had to watch a lot of his games after once the season was over with, because, you know, in the season, guys, you know, you're kind of locked into the NBA. But I went to a specific game and was told to watch his game against Purdue at Purdue when he gave Jaden Ivey 37-14. Hmm. And he was by far the best player on the floor. In fact, I think Ivey got in foul trouble in that game. And I just noticed, and I started asking people, I'm like, okay, what's up with this dude? And every night, guys, he was clearly Wisconsin's best player, and he always showed up to the biggest games. And that tells me something about him, especially if you're trying to come to the NBA. If you're a dog and you play better when the lights are the brightest, that's at least going to translate to the NBA because you're going to be a competitive guy. And the one thing I noticed about him these first 2 days of minicamp is, like, he's learning. Like, the NBA game is completely different. Even these guys that are, like, journeymen that – are trying to hang on. You know, he's in there competing. You know, he might turn the ball over, but the next possession he does something really well. So I'm excited to see what the kid can do. Clearly he's a rookie. Clearly he's going to have moments where he looks really good, and there will be times he's going to look bad. But at least we're getting somebody that understands what it's like to be the best player on a team. And, oh, by the way, he won Big Ten Player of the Year with a guy like Keegan Murray and Jaden Ivey in that conference.
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
I'm impressed that you said, especially when he played against Ivy, that he was the best player on the court. Because Ivy was a guy, listen, I haven't watched all these guys by any stretch, but he was a guy that we had kind of looked at, and he really blew me away. So the fact that you actually think he outplayed him that day, that's pretty impressive.
It wasn't even close, by the way, because Ivy got in foul trouble. But no, Johnny Davis was by far the best player on that court that day.
I'm watching the highlights as we speak, and he's just taking Ivy off the dribble, hitting a lot of mid-range shots. He's kind of the master of the mid-range, which we don't see that often anymore. What are the Wizards missing now to get to the next level? All right, we haven't seen Beal and Porzingis play together. We're going to assume that Beal's going to come back. Yeah, right. Johnny Davis to the mix of young guys, which include Rui, Denny, and Kispert. You got Kuzma, who merged last year. KCP solid. What do you foresee with this team?
Got to get a point guard. Got to get a point guard, veteran point guard. It doesn't have to be a dynamic top-tier point guard. But it's got to be somebody that can at least get you into your sets. And more importantly, stay in front of the ball. All right? You're going to get beat. Guys, we all know this in basketball. You're not going to be able to stop, you know, these point guards in this league. But if you could just make it a little bit uncomfortable. And have a little bit of size. I mean, the Wizards have had some small guards here lately. They got to get a little bit bigger at that position. And if you can play defense and you can get guys into their sets, I think there's enough offense out there where they'll be fine, right? You talked about Beal, Kuzma, KCP, Porzingis. Porzingis, to me, if he and Beal can stay healthy, and that's the key really for both of them, the Wizards are going to score points. And I think with Porzingis' ability of his length and his size and the way he shot block shots, and you add Gafford as a backup, you know, hopefully the Wizards can be really good in terms of rim protection. But defense and three-point shooting is going to be the real key moving forward with this team.
Does Denny's role improve a little bit this year, in your opinion?
In terms of offense, he has to take another step.
Right.
I think defensively, he wants all the smoke. Like, he doesn't care. Like, I remember he was like, yeah, I got DeRozan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got KD. And whatever the result was, at least he was, you know, competing. That's where he's really taking steps, I think. But offensively, he's got to hit shots. And more importantly, and he'll tell you this, man, you got to make layups. You're too big to be missing these layups under the rim. And I think that's where, you know, he can really add to his point total is knocking down these under-the-basket shots. Don't lay it up. Dunk on these dudes. And I think that's where you want to see Denny evolve next season.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the numbers from last year. So in April, he averaged 12 points a game, which was 3 points better than March and April. And February. So he was starting to take some more shots. Now, obviously, Bradley wasn't there, so there was more shots to be had.
Right.
But if he can get into that 15 field goal attempts per game, you know, 12 to 15, he should be able to get, you know, 12 to 14 a game. That's a good role for him.
And I want to see what his rebounding numbers will be also. Like, right. Again, like, if you can average – look, if he could average, like, 13 and 6,
right.
Would you take that?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, you'd take that, right?
Yep.
That'd be great. Now, those numbers sound like Rui numbers, to be honest with you. Rui, last year at the end, he started knocking down a bunch of threes. I didn't think that much of it because they were losing a bunch of games. What can we expect from him?
Well, that was really that was enlightening, really, to kind of see that work that kid put in because he was gone for so long, and he came back with a three-point shot. Defensively, he's got to get better. He is too physically gifted to not be a better defender, and I think he can be a better defender and couple that with his three-point shot. And we already know he loves the mid-range. I mean, he would probably rather shoot a mid-range than a three. But as you guys know, the game has kind of evolved. And for him to improve that three-point shot is impressive. But for him, defensively, I think is where he has to take. It's funny. If you take, like, Denny's defense and Rui's shooting, man, that's Kawhi Leonard, right? Like, if you took the two guys together, that would be kind of the equivalent of what Kawhi Leonard does on both ends of the floor.
Do we expect to see all these guys, you know, before the draft, as we're talking to Chris Miller, the play-by-play voice of the Wizards on NBC Sports Washington, before the draft we were talking about, are they going to trade Beal? Are they going to move up in the draft? And instead, relatively boring. They just took Johnny Davis with the 10th pick, and we kind of expect these guys to be back. You mentioned point guard. All right, maybe they find a point guard who's available in free agency. Are they going to make any other moves, or are they pretty much bringing these guys back?
It looks like to me they might run it back, and the only difference would be obviously adding that point guard, right? I think they've got $10 million, an exception, and I think a biannual exception of like $4 million, about $14 million to play with right now. I think that's it. Again, the veteran point guard is really important. I mean, I know that they say they want Beal to kind of, you know, bring the ball up. They want Johnny Davis eventually to bring the ball up, but. You know, the best version of this team, for me, this is just me speaking, is you got a guy that in here that knows how to facilitate offense and also can guard that ball. And that's just asking a lot of Brad to do.
Was that the deficiency with...
And we want him to be the point guard?
Was that the deficiency with guys like Neto and Ish Smith? Because they can bring the ball up and facilitate. It's just they were too small and just got beat up on the defensive end?
I mean, just defensively, it was just tough, right? And these guys, to their credit, they're backup point guards. And you're asking them now to start and play 30-plus minutes. That's just not who they are. And again, that's no disrespect to them. It's just they were backups for a reason. And that's why I think it's important to get a starter in here.
So when you say a veteran point guard, I'm just kind of looking at the list of free agents. But, I mean, are you talking about a guy like a Ricky Rubio to come in or – you know, you don't want Rondo. You know, you maybe a Patty Mills. Kemba's already been traded. Austin Rivers. I mean, what's out there that you, that kind of intrigues you?
Well, I think we've been there, done that with Austin Rivers, so I don't think that,
yeah,
don't
yeah.
Think that
I'm just throwing out. I'm just throwing out names that I kind of recognize.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I think you know, I've heard Monte Morris's name from Denver. He's a 6'2" point guard. Obviously, he has a connection with Wes Unseld Jr. playing in Denver. You know, I don't know if. I don't think they'll get into Jalen Brunson sweepstakes. I mean, it looks like he's about to get some. He's about to get a bag.
Oh, he's going to get big money. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I think Dennis Schroeder's name is out there.
Right.
Yeah, that's just. I don't think they're going to get into the Brogdon thing. I mean, I think Brogdon is going to probably. I think probably Indiana's going to ask a lot for him. And if you want to kind of run it back with your young kids, I don't think you want to try to get rid of them. But there'll be a veteran out there. Either in a trade or in free agency that I think that they're going to be able to bring in. It's important. They know it, too. They've said it publicly. It's mm-hmm. important.
Yeah, Shepard has talked about it.
Yeah, and I'm sure yeah. they'll do something. So we talked a lot about Bradley yesterday, Chris, and we kind of just threw out the question, would you sign, would you take the 248 and play here because it's $60 million more than what you can make as a free agent? Or would you go somewhere for, you know, $180 or $200, whatever it is, and have a better shot at winning? And just kind of want to get your take. You think Bradley, if he does sign the extension, is it more because it's just guaranteed money and another $60 million? Or is it because he's just comfortable with the area? His kids, his family probably like the area. He's just comfortable with the situation. He likes Tommy. Or does he... I'll throw a third option out there. Does he think they can win now that they got Kristaps? What do you think the reason would be?
I like all three of them. I'll just say this. This is just Chris Miller talking. I'm not speaking for Brad or anybody else. There is something about being drafted in a city, signing multiple contracts with that team, and at the end of the day, they retire your jersey and it hangs next to Wes, Biggie, Honeycomb, Phil Chenier. That you realize Bradley Beal is less than, I think, 2,200 points away from being the all-time leading scorer
wow.
in this organization's history, which means he could probably do it if he played every game this year. He could probably do it this season, but more than likely it would be the season after that. That means something. That's a legacy, right? Like, he's got three kids now. That stuff still matters. And Brad, to me, and I know Brad, Brad's old school, man. Like Bobby and Vesta Beal raised him the right way, where it's not like, hey, when it's getting real hot in the kitchen, I'm out. No, he's going to stay with you. So there's a sense of loyalty there, and you can appreciate that. Here's where I just feel like where this organization is right now with him. I think they got to go get somebody that's at least as good as him or better. Then I think that's when you get the best version of Bradley Beal. And maybe Porzingis is that guy. But, yeah, I would take the 248 in the 5 years, because that means, first of all, he wanted to be here. Second of all, the organization wants him to be here. And now it's time to make the team better around him, if that all makes sense to you guys.
Chris, I wanted to ask you about John Wall, who it looks like is going to agree to a buyout and sign with the Clippers. Some reason, when I think about John Wall and Chris Miller, I go back to the dogs. I think you went to his house, interviewed him, yeah. And you're not like a big dog guy, and they were like big dogs. I just remember that interview. You looked nervous the whole time. But you were tight with him, you know, as tight as I guess a reporter can be with the player. You got to feel good for him, right?
So I'm going to steal one of you guys' terms. Last night when I found out about it, I got a little silly, all right? I was like, I'm happy for him because this guy has not played basketball for 2 years. And like you said, I know him, like, more than just a basketball player. I mean, this guy, when he came into the league, was so dynamic. And the injuries just crippled him. But he's always had something in him that made him dynamic. I remember the bone spur. I don't know if you guys remember this. This guy played with a bone spur that was, if you looked at it, like he showed it to me on a picture, like this bone spur that he was playing with in his foot. You'd be surprised how many games that he played with that. I mean, he played with such heart. City loved him. I go back to when he got traded. I get it. I get both sides had to move on. But I always rooted for him. And now he gets this buyout, and he goes to a situation in L.A., and I talked to him last night. All he has to do now, guys, is facilitate the ball and stay healthy. And they got a chance to win a championship. When you think about Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, John, Luke Kennard, okay, we all remember Luke Kennard here last season.
Mm-hmm.
They have a team, and Ty Lue, who's one of the best coaches in the league. I couldn't think of a better situation for John to be in.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, well, we'll talk to you soon, Chris. Appreciate the time, bro.
Thank you, buddy.
Did I get that term right? Silly, right? That means when you're excited about something?
Yeah, I think you might lean towards Seist there, but that's okay.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I'm watching what you guys. I'm working.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, man. We'll talk to you guys. Appreciate you.
All right, man.
I always love Chris. I used to do a lot of Wizards post games and work with him a lot, but I just remember that piece. And it would be like me. Like, I've never been a dog person, but all of a sudden he was immersed in John's house for this piece, and these huge dogs were coming at him, and you could just tell he wasn't comfortable. But
hey, I feel
it. Congratulations to Chris. That's pretty cool that he was just practicing play-by-play, playing NBA 2K.
Chris wasn't as bad as, remember the guy, was it the Kansas City Chief? Cakes would know. The guy that was weirded out by the horses. Remember they had horses there at halftime? It was like a viral clip from NFL Films. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was the DB.
Yeah.
He ended up having. Didn't he have a neck injury or?
I think so.
But it'd be interesting to see what John Wall does with the Clippers. You know, Jason immediately was like, "Well, Reggie Jackson's going to start." Well, what if John is healthy?
Eric Berry. Yeah,
I think Eric Berry. Didn't he have cancer or something?
Maybe that's like, what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had something
rough.
He had cancer. Yeah.
All right, got to take a break. Coming up next, how the NIL is changing everything in college sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.